I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you all for your prayers, for all of your support this week. It has truly been a joy for me to be here. If you could have membership in two churches, I'd join here. I had a friend that went to school with me, and he one Sunday morning he came to the church where I was serving in Nashville, and I gave the altar call, and I looked up, and here comes Porter. Well, I mean, he came down the aisle. I was standing there. He looked at me and he said, I don't need you for anything. He went right on and bowed. Just a minute, his wife came and she bowed beside of him. He got saved that morning and he turned over and he said to his wife, Helen. He said, Helen, are you saved? She said, yes, I am. He said, I'm going to get up from here and join this church. I'd like for you to join with me. So they did, both that morning. Well, the next week I was in a revival somewhere and Porter said, I want to go with you. I said, yeah, I'll be tickled to death to have you. And the pastor gave an invitation for members and Porter went down to join there. He thought you could join them all. I said, it doesn't work that way, Porter. But you got to appreciate his zeal, hadn't you? Yeah. Yeah. The first church I served had 16 members. And I thought that was too many. And I've started there in 67. Judy and I married in 68. We had our first child in 69. And while we were pastoring there, there was a young couple with two small children invited us home for Sunday dinner. Yeah, I grew up calling the middle meal dinner and the evening supper. You know why? That's the way it is in here. Yeah, supper time. All right. Well, we go, and the children are entertaining Judy and me. Julie hadn't come along yet. And the husband and wife, mother and dad were in the kitchen getting the food ready. Well, 1 o'clock came, no food. 2 o'clock came, no food. And I said, what are we having for dinner today? The little boy said, buzzard. I said, oh, no, you know we're not having buzzard. And his sister said, oh, yes, we are. Said, mother told us before we went to church this morning, said, you clean up your rooms good because we're having that old buzzard for lunch. We find out what y'all say about us sooner or later. May I finish my sermon last night before I start on this one? The check. You wanted to know what I put on mine. I know you did. So I waited till today. I put on here what I would ask of God. An old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost reviving of our whole nation.
Yeah.
And I pray for that every night. I'll get it just in a minute. Yes. Turn to Revelation 21 if you'd like to read with me. And while you're finding that, I want to do a song for Jerry. He's done several for me this week, and I've enjoyed it. And I'm going to spare you singing it. I'm just going to give you the lyrics. And I'm sure you've probably heard the song. Death began to form a line to cross the river. When Abel died from his own brother's hand, now a band of mortal souls have swelled old Jordan, passing on there in judgment to stand. I'm so glad that a way was made at Calvary. When Jesus died upon the cruel tree, In the grave he slept a while, then overpowered. Thank the Lord that he lives forevermore. In the great beyond, over in the land of Eden, I'll meet my friends who left this world so long ago. What a hallelujah morning when we gather over there, where we'll praise our blessed Lord forevermore. You know the only universal word worldwide, you know what it is? It was in that song. Yep, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My theme for a few minutes this morning will be heaven. I got up with heaven on my mind. And I think of heaven every day because my precious Savior and my dear wife are there. My parents are there. My sister and her husband have gone. And I too shall take my turn and go the ways of all men to join that celestial band to never be separated again. You know, the thing that I'm so anxious to have, I'm so anxious to get rid of this old body. Sinful. Decaying. Every time I look in the mirror, I say, who is that? Because I see a change. We'll have a new body, fashioned after that of Jesus Christ. How wonderful, how glorious. What a hallelujah time. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You know why the first heaven was passed away? Lucifer had been there. The fallen angel that we know as Satan, God wasn't going to renovate it, so he just made a new one because that rascal had been in the first one. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. For a text, I would just use the fourth verse, the last one. No tears in heaven. We used to sing that old song. Won't be any tears there. All tears will be dried up. You cry about so many things, and so do I. But one day, we'll never be sad. We'll never be heartbroken. We'll never be disappointed in ourselves and in others. It will be one utopious day that never ends, an unending day. Oh, our finite minds cannot fathom such things. But what glory it shall be to be in heaven. Heaven is just as real as Elkton Church. It's real. We can contrast the difference between the two homes of the redeemed. Of course, this one, with so many tears. And the next heaven, as I said, where there will be no tears. Our life here is filled with so many sad things. Since I've gotten here, I have received constant notification from families back home about loved ones at the point of death. It could happen any time. And I knew that if one or two died, I would have to leave and go there because we've been together so many years and I've made a commitment. I want you to do my service. Well, I received a call yesterday from a dying friend. You'll remember the name, Roger Miller. Not the king of the road. This is my friend, Roger Miller. And his wife called and she said, "I'm going to put the phone down to Roger's ear. And I believe he might be able to hear you. He hasn't spoken in days." So she did, and I began to speak to him. And I told him that I loved him. And she said, "Oh, he's trying to move his mouth." And I knew he was wanting to reply. And I said, "If you get there before I do, look out, brother, I'm coming too." And she said he tried to move his mouth again. And that went on for a few minutes. And then, of course, we closed. It's been difficult to try to do services for such close friends, classmates, high school teachers, coaches, people that you just think are invincible. You know, sometimes we just think so-and-so is going to live forever. But that time comes for all of us. There's so many troubles in life. I think more today because the media lets us know about every bad thing and nothing good. That's what we fill our minds with. We are programmed negatively because that's what we hear. And it's so hard to have a positive mind and outlook about things. But listen, folks, if you've read the book of Revelation, you know we win. So remember that. Don't let Satan get you ever. We have children that get in trouble. Grandchildren who get in trouble. Broken homes. Loss of jobs during the pandemic. A young father had a son 11 years old. And his wife was preparing Saturday morning breakfast for the family. And he goes down into the basement and with a pistol commits suicide. And Mary Margaret, his wife, called Judy and me, "Can you please come?" And we went as quickly as we could get there to try to comfort this dear wife and son. And the boy, he is just frozen. He doesn't understand why on a beautiful Saturday morning his dad would take his life. And the only reason, it was obvious, Mary Margaret said, he lost his job during the pandemic. And he felt so useless and unnecessary. And he just couldn't stand it. She said, "I know, that's got to be what happened. But it's so hard." Disappointment. We get disappointments so often. You think about poor Moses. Brother Lambert said that was the greatest man who ever lived besides Jesus Christ. After his disobedience, God took him up on a high mountain and he showed him the Canaan land. But because of his disobedience, he couldn't go in. Didn't let him go in. The Bible said that God buried Moses in the valley of Moab. The scripture said no man to this day knows where his grave is. He's not in the grave. We found that out, didn't we? Over in the 17th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain for the great transfiguration moment. There appearing with him in glory, and that means glorified bodies, was Elijah and Moses. Moses representing the era of the law. And Elijah representing the era of the prophets. And Jesus Christ representing the era of grace. Oh, the grace of God. Nothing will ever compare to our new home in heaven. You remember when Rusty Goodman wrote the song, "Just wait till you see my brand new home. Wait till you see its beauty rare. Nothing down here can compare. Just wait till you see my brand new home." I've had to conduct funerals for infants, stillborns. It's a sad, hard time. Those parents are weeping. They don't understand. Why would God do this? One night about midnight while I was serving the church in Bowling Green, a man in the church called and he said, "Can you come to our house right now? We're at a crisis." I said, "I'll be there just as soon as I can dress." I got there, and their daughter had just lost a baby at Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville. And they had come home. And so we gathered in the living room, and I said, you know, I don't know of anything that we can do that's any better than pray. I want us to pray. Can we all bow together here and pray? I said, but I want to tell you this. I said, Jewel, don't worry about where your little girl has gone. She's gone right into the presence of God, the Father, and Jesus, and all the holy angels, and that throne of saints that are gathering there. Because she never knew sin. Never was accountable to God for sins. Well, we bowed and we prayed. And when we finished, the mother started screaming, just screaming. And she stopped. And she said, my baby's in heaven and I'm on my way to hell. And I thought I would die. Because I didn't know that she had never been saved. And I said, I believe we need to pray some more. And we prayed until the daylight came. But that mother wept her way to heaven with all of her heart. And she said, I can see my baby. I can go see my baby. I left there hearing her exclaiming, I can go see my baby. Oh, what a day. What a day that will be. I remember several years ago during the ministry school at Old Union. In fact, I got a call to come up the road to a funeral home. I got up there and this old brother Gregory was sitting at the head of his son's casket who had just gotten killed in an automobile accident. And when I walked up, the father stood up and he said, oh, Brother Massey, he said, my son is burning in hell right now because he never, ever gave his heart to Jesus. And I know he didn't. I know he never had. And he went out so quickly he didn't have a chance to do anything about it. Listen, folks, the grandest thing that I've ever heard from the Old Testament is prepare to meet thy God. Everyone. You can tell that anywhere and everywhere. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you want to go to, you know, today, people hold funerals and they act like everybody's going to heaven, whether they've been saved or not. Have you noticed that? We have swept it under the rug. I never stand at a funeral and try to preach anybody into heaven or hell. There are times when people leave and I have to do the service and they have left no testimony. And you know what I say? I say, they were in the hands of a just God. That's all I can say. It's between them and God. Only God. Oh, yes. Oh, no one wants to go to heaven. No, I mean to hell. The song said, no tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness when we shall join that happy band. Heaven is a real place. Listen to what Paul said. He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out, I cannot tell. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven and saw things that were unlawful to be uttered. The third heaven. What is that? Well, the first heaven's where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the planets are hung. The stars and the sun and the moon. And the third heaven is heaven itself. It's the real heaven. The true heaven. I think that was the thorn in the flesh, Brother Cofer. Paul wanted to tell that and God told him he couldn't. He never let him tell a thing. You know why he didn't? Because someone might have thought they had to see heaven in order to get saved. But salvation is by grace through faith. and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Apostle Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Aren't you so glad that God keeps you saved? You don't keep yourself saved. Folks, if I was keeping my salvation, I'd already be in hell. Because the providence of God has been so wonderful and has spared my life on numerous occasions when I should have been killed, should have died. And perhaps the same is true for you. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. My dad came to a revival with my mother, my sister, and my brother-in-law in August of 1996 at the church where I'm trying to help out right now, Crossroads. Brother Harold Carver was the pastor. I was shocked when I looked and I see my mother and daddy and my sister and her husband driving up. And I was supposed to preach that morning. And I said, Harold, you got to preach today because my folks are coming. I had no idea they were coming. He said, and they've never heard you preach. He said, I wouldn't preach for $1,000 today. I said, why? He said, your mother and daddy would rather hear you preach than anybody in the world. That's just human nature. And I said, okay. So I preached on heaven that day. And when I finished, Dad was in a wheelchair. He had had a stroke in open heart surgery at the age of 80. But Mom nursed him for 6 more years and let him live. And when I finished, he was the song director where we went to church. I said, Dad, could you sing a little bit of Heaven Was There? He and I used to do a duet number that he'd do the lead and I'd try to put harmony to it. And he would think his pitches out loud. He went, and he started. And I was standing in the pulpit and joined him. And the song says, I'm thinking today of my old-fashioned home with father and mother in prayer. When by the old fireplace we humbly would bow, it seemed that sweet heaven was there. What singing and shouting we had in those days. It lifted us out of all care when God would come in and we'd turn from sin's ways. It seemed that sweet heaven was there. I'd like to go back and think my days over and hear my name spoken in prayer. When Father would pray, Lord, save my dear children. It seemed that sweet heaven was there. Paul to the Thessalonians, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall be changed in a moment. And we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I hope that comforts you like it does me. Jesus called the disciples out to beautiful Mount Hermon just before he left. And this is what, this was his last message. There are 56 sermons actually in the New Testament by Jesus. And if you Google, they might tell you what they are. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, John wrote the book of Revelation. And while on the Isle of Patmos writing it, he said he saw a company of 144,000. And then he went a little bit further and he wrote and he said he saw a number no man could number. Of every nation, every people, every kindred, every tongue. Yes. Heaven is a permanent place. Paul said in Hebrews 13:14, For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Babylon is gone, totally out of existence. New York will be gone. Chicago will be gone. LA will be gone. This whole earth will be gone one day, but all of God's people will be home free. Living with him in that holy city, New Jerusalem. I want to tell you all an illustration about Jesus, or a little story quickly, and I'll be through. About 150 years ago, there was a one-room schoolhouse over in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. How many of you all attended a one-room schoolhouse? Thank you. Some of you don't even know what it is. Well, it was 1 through 8. And first and second grade be in that corner, and third and fourth in that corner, and fifth and sixth in that corner, and seventh and eighth in that corner. And the teacher would spend a little time here and give homework, a little time here, homework, and that's what went on every day. Well, that's what this was. And there was an old boy named Joe. He was a bully. He was 17 and in the sixth grade. So one day they were waiting for the new school teacher. And they were standing out front, and here comes this fellow on a horse riding up with a black suit, riding a black horse, and he just had one book, and it was black. And when he finally got there, got off his horse, and he said, let's go inside and take up books. So they went inside, and he said, the first thing we need to do, he turned to the chalkboard, he said, the first thing we need to do is to write down some rules that we must follow. And he said, I want you to help me. Well, they did. The first rule, I think, was no cheating. And another gave a rule, no stealing. Another gave a rule, no talking. And they finally got all of their rules. And they started. Hadn't been going but 2 or 3 days. And someone stole Big Joe's lunch. He comes to the teacher and he said, somebody stole my lunch. The teacher said, don't say anything to anybody about it. I'll take care of it. When lunchtime was over, they all came back in the house. And the teacher said, okay, before we do anything else, we've got a situation we must deal with. Someone has stolen Joe's lunch. Now, if you did it, please stand up right now. No one stood up. He said, we're not going to leave school today until we find out who stole his lunch. You made the rules. Look at the rule where it says no stealing. One of you got the lunch, got Joe's lunch. Now, who was it? Teacher just kept going, please stand up. Nobody stood up. He said, okay, all right. Here we'll be. And then he heard a little boy whimpering. He saw it was Tommy. He said, Tommy, will you come down here? Tommy got up and came down. He said, what's wrong, Tommy? He said, I stole Joe's lunch. He said, you stole Joe's lunch. Why did you do that? He said, I didn't have anything to eat. And he's so big, I didn't think he would miss one day's lunch. And I know what's wrong. Teacher said, yes. Do you remember what you all said would be the penalty for violating any one of those rules? It would be 3 licks with my paddle. He said, yes, sir. He said, okay, bend over and grab your shins. He reached back and got his paddle. And he drew back. And he was fixing to lay that first lick on him when Big Joe came rolling down the aisle. He said, whoa, hold it. Hold it, teacher. He said, please. He said, Tommy, you get over there. And Big Joe bent over and grabbed his chins and his shins. And he said, he can't stand it. Give me his licking. Let me take his licking. Jesus took our licking at Calvary. Don't ever forget it. Don't sell it short. He took it for all of us. The sinless for sinners, the just for the unjust, God for man. What a Savior. What a salvation. Oh, what a great Savior and a great salvation. This morning, I don't know your heart. God does, and you should. And I'm going to ask you a question. Is it well with your soul? If it isn't, why not get it right today? Wouldn't it be wonderful for this to be your day of salvation? Oh, my gracious. I don't know of any place that you could have a better opportunity. Every person, every saved person in this house will rejoice in their hearts if you're lost and find God in salvation today. They will hug you. They will love you. They will help you in any way that you need. Would you please, today, consider your soul as for eternity and come to the Lord so that you at the end of life can say what my dad did. He was in the hospital at Vanderbilt and I was standing by his bed and he said, Kenneth, I'm dying. I looked and his eyes rolled back in his head. Turned white. I reached down and I lifted him up and I shook him. And I said, Dad. And he refocused for a moment. I said, I love you. And he said, I love you. And it's all right. It's all right. I said, we'll take care of Mother. I knew it was too late. I could see in his eyes that faraway look. He was seeing something I couldn't see. And I said, you go on, we'll try to take care of Mother for you. As they had for 61 years together. And he left. I want you to go to heaven. God wants you to come to heaven. Jesus died so you could go to heaven. This church is meeting today for every unsaved person that would come through that door. While we stand to sing a good song. Will you come? If you're saved and you're just not where you want to be and you want to come for prayer this morning, come right on. Come right on. It's never wrong to pray. I thank you for hearing me.